Good morning. We'd like to welcome you out to this study session of the Mesa City Council. We'd like to excuse Vice Mayor Glover, who's out of town. We wish him safe travels. Our first item on the agenda is to review our regular council meeting and special council meeting agendas for Monday night. And our consent agenda first. We'll run through those. Everybody up to speed? Computer's catching up. Items 1 through 3C. Mayor. Yes, Councilmember Benelli.
Just want to make a comment that happy to see Queen's Pizza liquor license on here so that we have finally have a pizza parlor in downtown where you can grab a beer.
Wonderful. Good. Good to see their success and their expansion. I know a lot of people have been helping out to get that rolling. Nice. Yes, Councilmember Richens.
Yeah, I also wanted to thank licensing for the additional details, so at least we know what kind of business it is and what kind of liquor license they're applying for. They've added those minor additional details that we've been asking for, and I just wanted to publicly thank them for that.
Excellent. Thanks. Okay, then we had 3C there. Moving to the next page would be 4A through 4C. 4D and 4E. 4F, yes, Councilmember.
4E looks like a kind of a really innovative, cool thing that happened. Can we get a little bit more detail on how that came together?
This is a 3-year term contract for water, wastewater treatment.
They combined all of our chemical purchases into a single from across the city, and it looks like they involved a bunch of people from throughout the state. So just kind of give you an opportunity to brag a little, maybe.
Good morning, Mayor, Council Members. Ed Quiddens, Business Services Director. I'd like to introduce Matt Bauer, our fairly new purchasing administrator. I don't think he's addressed the council in the past yet.
He looks so young and vibrant, ready to go.
I know. Makes me feel old.
Not like the old war horses here.
We'll beat it out of him.
Yeah. Absolutely. Mayor, Council Members. I'd like to present, essentially, we worked on a cooperative purchasing agreement with various agencies across the valley under our SAVE cooperative. We consolidated all of our spend into one contract agreement, and we were able to
The SAVE cooperative a little bit?
So the SAVE cooperative is a group of agencies across the valley within the state of Arizona that look to try and consolidate spend into various contracts. So we can have cooperative purchasing agreements. And through this contract, we were able to consolidate our spend into one contract, allowing us to save approximately $500,000 for the city of Mesa every year for the next 3 years. So,
nice.
When I read that on the agenda, I was stunned at what a great thing that was. I mean, I was really, really impressed. I didn't want to just go through on the agenda without getting recognized. That's pretty significant. I'm not sure whose idea that was, but somebody should get a big pat on the back for that. So
Mesa has been a part of the SAFE Cooperative. We were one of the founding members, and it happened in the late 1990s, if I remember correctly. But it's a great partnership. It's a great way to utilize share resources. Because a contract that SAVE does or that the agencies do together reduces the resources that are needed by all the agencies. Plus, you're increasing the spend, and the vendors like that, so they give us good pricing better pricing than an individual agency would get on its own. So it's a great partnership for us.
Yeah, Chris, I appreciate Councilmember Richens bringing it up. Every $1.5 million saved, I mean, that is huge, and we often don't get to be able to tell folks about some of these things. So. Good news.
Seven council budgets, how much is that?
Yeah, that's right.
I'm sure we've got that spent already.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate you and the hard work there.
That's a party.
Yeah.
It seemed more exciting than sludge grinder repairs.
Right, yeah, no offense to the, because they're okay too, right? They're perfect. Okay, next page? Thank you very much. Yes, Council Member Summers.
Well, on the next page, I want to talk about sludge grinder repairs. Actually, I want to talk about the replacement helicopter for the police department. I understand we had an accident this past week. Fortunately, nobody's injured. Somebody might want to talk about that a little bit and how this purchase is affected by that. What's going on with that accident? Was this for that aircraft? So what happened with that aircraft? Is that going to affect this purchase any?
Assistant Chief Dvorak, welcome.
Right. Good morning, Mayor, Councilmember Summers. Yes, we had the accident on Sunday night, and I think in totality was a good example of how our training and the skill of the pilots really made a huge difference in order to get the aircraft to the ground. Both of them walked away, are in good shape, and certainly had damage to the aircraft. How it affects this purchase was part of the bond from 2013 in November. The bond purchase was a replacement for the aircraft that was in fact involved in the accident, as it turned out. It is a model that was has about 20,000 hours on it. It was slated for the replacement based on this purchase, and so really the impact is more to current operations, just trying to juggle the difference between managing the 2 to 3 aircraft to handle our current flight hours that we do to support our operations.
So fortune shines on us that our officers are in good shape. Absolutely. First, and then the aircraft that had the accident with the failure was the one we were going to schedule to replace?
That is correct. All right.
So that worked out there. And then is it still under investigation as to the cause of the engine failure, and are we going to have any recourse there for monetary damage because of the aircraft failure? Is it too early to tell?
Well, yeah, we have already contacted our insurance company. We have property insurance with a certain deductible, so we're negotiating with them already.
Okay. Is there any liability issues? And perhaps this is not the right place to say
it. Yeah, I am not aware of any at this time.
Okay.
Chief Milstead, welcome up here. Maybe you have some more info for us.
No, sir. I just anticipate having some more info. Not at this point.
Thank you. Councilmember Summers, any more questions on that part? I did have a couple of observations I'd love to share. Maybe while you're looking at it, we'd like to recognize those pilot officers at some point in the future. You know, when you think it's appropriate, and I mean, outstanding, amazing actions on their part that kept us at a pretty isolated incident. The other item, I had a chance to go out to MD helicopter, look at the new helicopter that's anticipated if this passes on the budget, and learned a great deal about the design of that helicopter and how its survivability is one of its huge selling points. And I thought we got an example right there, you know, the other night of this incident. And so it's great to have MD helicopters in our community, have such an amazing product that's put out. And then to see the cooperation that I know Chief Milstead's been working with them, and as they bring new business and from all over the world into Mesa to look at those helicopters, Chief Milstead is working on a relationship with them to be able to do demonstrations showing the helicopters that we have.
Just probably an added comment, Mayor, members of Council, is it was a good example of the training. We actually trained for this type of scenario, hoping it never happens. But because we do that yearly training and the skill of the pilots and practicing, I think it led to a successful outcome and some fortuitous luck at the same time. But combining all those was as good outcome as it could have been, considering the circumstances.
Yes, sir.
And just to follow up on that, Mr. Mayor and Council, there's a line item in our budget every year that we spend dollars to teach them how to do that auto rotation. And so they do train. The fact that they're able to control the aircraft with a complete failure like that from about 600 feet, 500 feet in the air, they had about 10 to 15 seconds to react, find a place to put the ship down, not hit anything on the ground. To recognize the officers, I'm not sure to what detail we do that. I think I give them both credit for saving each other's life, because without the two of them working in tandem, I think the catastrophe could have been life-ending. And then the other part of it is it's just an incredible piece of heroism to keep that out of a neighborhood and into a what ended up being a vacant field with livestock in the field next door. So, I mean, everything went right after everything went wrong.
There you go. Yes, Councilmember Summers. No? Well, good. Any other questions for the Chiefs? Wonderful. Well, thank heavens it ended the way it did, and look forward to seeing this item on the agenda.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you. So that was 4H. We did have 4F and G. Did anybody have anything on those two items? No? Okay. Next items would be 4I through 4K. 4L through 4C. Five D through 5J, 5K.
Mayor,
yes.
Would you like Christine to come up and give a briefing on the
Escobedo? Oh yes, thank you. Yeah, just a real brief overview of Escobedo and wonderful. Nice to have you with us today.
Thank you, sir. Council members and Mayor, I'm Christine Zalanka with the Development and Sustainability Department. This is Jeff McVay, our Special Projects Manager, and this year he has taken the lead on pulling this deal together. We're really very excited to be here today. As you probably remember, 2 years ago we did one of our first low-income housing tax credit programs at Escobedo. Phase one is completed at this point in two, and this package brings forward a revised development agreement and leases both for phase one and for phase two. And I just wanted to highlight a couple of the things. I'm going to bring up the PowerPoint. We have a go to the next one. Just to refresh your memory, phase one included about 70 residential units on the north side of University and a brand new 15,000 square foot Save the Family building on the south side of University, which the all of those turned out really beautifully. And if any of you haven't been there, it's great to see the new home for Save the Family and the tremendous residential units that have been put together. They've been fully leased out. I think they were leased up within the first 3 weeks. So it's been real exciting. One of the things that we did do in phase one, four of the original buildings were refurbished, renovated, and are now community facilities for the residents. So that's been very exciting. In phase two, we will have an additional 62 residential units. One of the main things we wanted to highlight was Helen's Hope Chest. Part of the deal from the very beginning was that we needed a permanent home for Helen's Hope Chest, at least an 8,000 square foot facility. That was originally expected to be part of the phase two deal, but it's actually being moved over into phase one because of Department of Housing restrictions on building non-residential. So they're actually going to start construction of Helen's Hope Chest very quickly after we get approval on this.
Councilmember Luna.
Ms. Alanka, could you go explain, can you explain what Helen's Hope Chest is to the community? I think they need to have that understanding.
Dan Willem is here if he'd like to.
Dan, come on up.
That would be great.
I'd love to hear about.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Helen's Hope Chest is a unique project that was put together by Mesa United Way starting a few years ago when the state budget for support of foster families began to suffer some cuts, some serious cuts. We met with foster parents and Foster Parent Association and state officials and concluded that if we could put together a project that could help foster families by providing clothing, school supplies, personal care items, Christmas gifts, birthday gifts, books, items of that nature to them in support of their work with foster children, that would take a significant burden off of foster families, expenses that now have to come out of their own personal pocket. If you've had kids, I don't have to tell you how expensive it is just to keep them in shoes, let alone everything else that they need. So we began the project actually out of a two-room location in a local church that lasted for about 3 months before the demand and the supply of things was just overwhelming. And then we approached the city about a vacant building, former office building that was where Escobedo is currently located. And the city told us at that point, you're welcome to the facility as long as it's available. But there's no promises on how long that will be. It was very successful. We really appreciated it. We had community groups come in and fix the building up and such. And then we heard about plans for redevelopment and really mixed reaction. But the school district has come to our rescue and has provided interim facilities, and with the assistance of the city manager and the city council, working with the developer, we now have plans for the new permanent facility for Helen's Hope Chest. Last year, we served almost 8,000 families. In our research, it is our belief that Helen's Hope Chest is the largest project of this nature in the country. There are some other projects around the country, but they are nothing of the scope and size that we have at Helen's Hope Chest. We're very proud of it. We have great support, great utilization. We are anticipating that our programs this next year are going to be half again as many as we have had this year. I really want to express our appreciation to the council and to city staff who've worked with us through this whole project, and to the developer for their cooperation and assistance. I think it's going to be exciting, and you should all plan to be present for the groundbreaking, which we expect to be in just a couple weeks here.
Wonderful. Thank you, Dan. That's a great overview. Appreciate that.
Right. And again, that'll be an 8,000 square foot facility, brand new. One of the things I wanted to call out was Mesa United Way was helped significantly by one of our local architects, Ron Peters, who pretty much volunteered his time to help with both the programming on the interior of the building and then also the design of the exterior. If you'll notice, it looks very residential-like, which was what Mesa United Way had challenged the developer to do. They really wanted it to fit in and make it a very comfortable environment for the kids that go there. So I think that's one of the very exciting pieces of this project. So, but you've got a number of agenda items here. It actually goes 5I through 5L. Those are all of the various deals, the development agreement, leases, use restrictions. Those are all resolutions to authorize the city manager into moving forward with those. We did provide you with a fairly exhaustive council report. My apologies for that. But on the other hand, we wanted to make it clear so you didn't have to read through all of those documents if you didn't want to. What the major...
We're glad we switched to iPads.
It was bad when it was the whole stack of paper. If you've got any specific questions on that, certainly you can contact either Jeff or I if you've got questions now or later. But as soon as we get the document signed from the developer, we'll have the city manager sign them.
And could you take just a moment to touch a little bit on the 15-year portion of that lease and the possibilities for folks down the road with that?
Right. The way the deal is structured, and Jeff is going to correct me if I make any mistakes here, for the residential portion under the tax credit program, those have to be a 15-year rental development. And then at year 15, the managing partner, which is basically Save the Family, will have the option to purchase the land. And we have a value established and how that would all work. The city would anticipate if Save the Family exercises that agreement to move ahead with the purchase, they'd purchase all of the residential units. They'd then have to condominiumize them and sell them off individually. We have a separate sort of a deal with Save the Family for their building and for the Helen's Hope Chest building, where they basically are allowed to occupy those buildings for a very, very nominal rate for 15 years. Save the Family then has the option to purchase their building, and Helen's Hope Chest then at 15 years would be removed from the partnership deal with Gorman, and they'd basically have their own lease with the city at that point in time.
So this gives the opportunity for home ownership in 15 years, and that was one of the key points for me personally as I looked and said, I don't know if we really want to recreate the last 50 years of Escobedo, but this gives the opportunity to beautiful, nice, complex buildings, architecture, and then the opportunity for ownership down the road after 15 years, and I thought that was a very sustainable look at how the progress of the project. So I appreciate that portion.
If you'll notice in the documents, there are specific requirements that Save the Family has. They're obligated by Department of Housing to provide services to the residents so that they are successfully able to transition from rental to home ownership situation.
Wonderful.
This is just a quick overview. You'll notice for those of you that have driven by the phase one of the development, phase two will look exactly like it. It's a there's a lot of brick facade, a lot of architectural embellishments on the outside. There's community areas. And also what the developer volunteered to do was there was a small piece of land that was underutilized directly adjacent to Escobedo Park. They're going to turf that, so it just provides a little more open area, and that will become part of Escobedo Park. So we're just real excited about it. Wanted to give you a real high-level overview. Certainly, if you've got any detailed questions, we've got our counsel here, and a few other than that, we'll
proceed for Monday. Wonderful. Any further questions, observations? Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. So that got us through 5J and then over 5K. Obviously, 5L was part of that. And then we're into 6A through 8B. Any questions, concerns? And then obviously items from citizens present. Okay, and then we have the agenda for the special council meeting. Let me make sure I'm grabbing the correct one here. There it is. Okay, so those two items that will be in the way, I think we're going to roll through with this, is we'll have our normal council meeting, and then we'll adjourn that and have a special council meeting. And maybe, Ms. Spinner, you could let us know why we're doing this.
Mayor and Council, under state law, for the council to take action on the home rule option, it has to be in a special council meeting. It cannot be in a regular council meeting. So the intent is, if the council wants to move forward and place the home rule expenditure limitation option on the ballot, you have to adopt the home rule option in a resolution in a special council meeting. And then when we come back July 1st to call the election, this will be an item included on the election.
Okay. Any questions along those lines? Okay. Great. Okay, I believe that finishes our review of the agendas for Monday night. Our next item on the agenda is item 2A, hear a presentation and discuss an update on the Health and Wellness Center.
Good morning, Mayor and Council. We wanted to provide you an update on the Employee Wellness Center. Late last year, we gave you a presentation on the center, and we also discussed it as part of our annual employee benefits presentation. And this morning, we wanted to give you an update on the progress that's been made in putting this exciting project together. The purpose of the Wellness Center is to improve the overall health and wellness of our employees and their benefited dependents by providing them access to primary care, preventative care, as well as chronic disease management health care services. And in a few minutes, I'll give you some examples about what those services might look like. Funding for this particular project comes from the cost savings we have achieved through the Employee Benefits Trust Fund and some specific cost savings measures that we've put in place over the last several years. Through an extensive RFP process, in February of this year, we awarded the contract for the Wellness Center to a medical company called OnSite Care. OnSite Care is a medical company that specializes in running these types of employee wellness centers. We selected OnSite Care really for two reasons. One was their proven track record in running these types of employee wellness centers effectively. And second, perhaps more importantly, their philosophy was just simply more in line with ours in providing effective and comprehensive healthcare services and providing our employees and their dependents with a rather unique opportunity to develop close and confidential relationships between the doctor, sometimes that is missing in our current model. Staff selection for the key members of the Wellness Center is underway. These staff members will be employees of OnSite. They will be hired by OnSite, but with our specific direct involvement and input. And the selection for the primary care physician or the doctor that will be at the healthcare center is currently in the final stages. Some of the examples of the typical services that we anticipate would be provided at the wellness center, as I said, are divided really into three categories. One is primary care service, preventative care services, as well as chronic disease management. And this slide gives you a typical overview of those types of services, not all inclusive, but some of your typical services. Under primary care, your typical flus and colds and strep throats and ear infections and sinuses and headaches and that kind of thing will be provided for there. On the preventative side of the house, the center will also provide an opportunity for adult annual exams, vaccines of a variety of types, school and sports physicals, as well as child exams. Insofar as chronic disease management, which is an area that probably costs us the most in our trust fund, this is an area that the center will focus also some rather specific attention on. So our employees and our dependents that may have, you know, high blood pressure or diabetes or high cholesterol or depression or migraine headaches, the center is going to provide an opportunity to take a comprehensive look at employees with those chronic conditions and work out some specific health care action plans for addressing those.
Councilmember Luna, question.
So when an employee actually goes to the center, will they pay a copay, or how does that work?
Councilmember Luna, at the moment, we are not anticipating employees having to pay to go to the health care center. It will be free for they and their dependents to do so.
So, Gary, can I jump in just real quickly?
Of course.
Because you can look at these lists and say, well, you can go get this service anywhere. And frankly, our cost model doesn't necessarily, it's about the same cost to the city as it would for someone to go to their private primary physician, which we're going to continue to encourage employees to do this. This program is really about access and convenience. We need to get more of our employees in front of a medical professional. We see the numbers of our employees who are actually accessing preventative health care is pretty small. And what that leads to is it defers medical issues, concerns, until they become more acute. And, of course, that becomes very expensive for the city. If the cost for the city to provide preventative health care is significantly less per capita than when someone ends up in acute care in a hospital, which can grow to $30,000 for a day. The other model of this plan is not only to provide a comprehensive level of services for preventative care, but is also provide a different model of care. So today, if you go to a doctor, that doctor, while may provide some consulting and provide some FaceTime with you, it's very limited sometimes. This model puts in place the idea that when you go in for the sore throat, the opportunity there in the model here is that then the doctor, our doctor, who works for the city, who is looking after the employee's entire well-being, is having a holistic conversation with that employee. So an opportunity to talk about nutrition, exercise. So it's a broader conversation. We expect the appointments to be much significantly longer and more comprehensive than what someone would experience today. We're not requiring all employees to go to this. If they continue to go to their preferred primary care provider, we're happy with that. We want them to continue to do that. But by the determination of the location of this facility and making it available for free for all the employees that are currently enrolled in a health city of benefits plan, we hope to increase significantly participation, not only by employees, but also by their, as Gary says, by their benefited family members also. Because if we can manage care early on in the process in their lives and avoid a small fraction of the acute care on the end, the payback on this is pretty quick. And ultimately, It provides for happy, healthy employees, and that's what we're looking for.
Yes, Councilmember Luna.
I'm happy to hear about the emphasis on nutrition and diet and exercise. I think it's a real important component that needs to be included in that program.
Yes.
I was going to say, looking at disease management, migraine, headaches, depression, high blood pressure, that's like an every week occurrence for us up here on the council. So we can all use this anyway.
Well, yes.
Yeah. There goes the high blood pressure. I tell you.
We can help you, Mayor.
Thank you. Okay.
The location of the Wellness Center is at 1121 South Gilbert Road. The approximate crossroads is Gilbert and Southern. The facility actually used to be a prior pediatric building, and we've got a five-year lease on that facility, and I'm happy to tell you that demolition has already been completed on the inside of that building, and a job order contract on today's study session agenda is for construction. So we're very excited about the project. We think we've got a lot of motivation out there from employees that are looking forward to it, and we are very hopeful that this project is going to result in a trend savings, perhaps future for our medical costs, and provide some really exceptional good comprehensive health care services for our employees and their dependents.
Yeah. Gary, do you want to go through the slides real quickly that show the location? Or is that Beth? Oh, we're handing it off to Beth. Yes. I forgot. Sorry.
Sorry.
That's why you're up there.
No, we practice stuff, but we just can't get in there. Well, the facility, as Gary mentioned, will be in the northeast corner of Gilbert and Southern. The entrance, when you drive into the parking lot, you can come into this side of the building right now. This side of the building is vacant, but we are looking at that for the future, on considering if we get the success we'd like to have with this facility. It's very visible and very easy to access. This is the way it will look from Gilbert at the top, and then you can see the entrance at the lower right. This is what it'll look like when you walk into the building. You can see the reception area and the waiting area. On the left are two kiosks that we're going to be putting in. The building will have Wi-Fi, so employees can access their accounts if they need to do work while they're waiting. The kiosks they can log into, reschedule appointments, schedule appointments, and do also log into their email account if they don't have an electronic device.
So blood pressure
just stays. Yeah, we want to keep it. at the top of the slide, you can see the waiting area while you'll be entering, and that is the reception desk that I just mentioned. Coming around to the left side of the drawing, we go down into the area where there's a pharmacy, six exam rooms. Circling around, we have a lab you can draw blood, and there are provider offices and other administrative areas on the floor. It's kind of designed in a circular pattern now, which is kind of the way it works now in medical facilities.
So the nice thing about this site, not only that we did a scattergram of where employees live as well as where they work, so it's having something close to the 60 and kind of the center of the city kind of helped us to look in that area. This location, what's nice is, Gary mentioned, or maybe Beth talked about, this was a pediatric center. So we've had to move the plumbing, the exam rooms are already in place. So we're doing a lot of code upgrade, but as far as the larger infrastructure, it was already in place. So it's been a good deal for the city to be able to move into a previous kind of medical facility and be able to come in and just do the renovations to it to bring it in up to code.
Wonderful. Well, I for one am really excited about this. I'd love to be the first person to go through. There's anybody in this room that needs that preventative approach and thing, I'm the guy, so I hope you'll let me be the first person through.
Mayor, we are looking at an October completion date.
Wonderful. Right. Wonderful. Any other questions or thoughts? Yes.
I'm good.
Good?
Okay. No, I did have a question. How is there any opportunity maybe to tie in our fire department's TRV program into this program for outreach for those who do get sick? TRV is kind of for low acuity medical calls.
Yeah, I think right now, just on the modeling of this, the pressure we're getting, and the mayor brought this up the last time we brought this item, is right now we scaled this for active employees. Once we kind of get through all of this is looking at maybe the retirees. And if we do that, we'll have to add more, more medical staff, and we need to make sure we have the room. So we've got to balance that out. I think once we, if we were to add that component, if we were able to get to that point, I don't know. I think our facility would have to be careful. We may be at max. Because again, our model is we don't want to be pushing people through here rapidly. The idea is to give them that 30-minute visit and opportunity to look at it. So right now, this is really intense. Because it's paid for. The other thing is, too, it's funded from the employee trust or the health benefit trust fund. So we're trying to, it's like we're reinvesting in the idea that we spend almost $50 million on health claims. And the idea, if we can reduce that by a fraction, then this pays for itself.
Yeah, I should have clarified. I was thinking more along just for our employees.
Oh, absolutely.
Not broadly. So if we were to send the TRV out potentially for an employee, the ability to use this facility rather than transit. Yeah, I should.
This is intended for the employees, yes.
Yeah, so maybe tying those things together as a potential destination for employees as an extension of that continuous pilot.
Okay.
Mayor?
Yes.
Can you clarify who's eligible to use this specifically so we don't create any confusion in the public?
Thank you.
It's a public facility.
So it's intended for city employees who are enrolled currently in the city's health benefits program. We have some employees who are not enrolled in our benefits program. They may be with a spouse or some other. But because the funds that are supporting this are coming from the health benefit trust fund, so it includes both the contributions from employees who enrolled in the program, that's what we're limiting it to. So it's limited to employees and their dependents that are enrolled in the current program.
Okay. And do you need an appointment to go?
They're actually pretty exciting. ITD is working with on-site. They're really getting on, so having mobile apps where they can go and access and make their appointments online or on their mobile apps, and a lot of different creative ways to do it that way. Yeah.
Cool.
Nice. Look at them. They're all giddy. They're all excited.
Well, good. If there's no other questions, thank you so much for this presentation. Appreciate it. Next item is item 3, information pertaining to the current job order contracting projects. Anybody have any questions for Beth? No? Okay. Acknowledge of minutes, receipt of minutes in various boards and committees. Do we have a motion?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Scheduling future meetings, Mr. Brady.
Mayor, just a reminder, those for on the Public Safety Committee meeting, there'll be one following this study session. And then our next study session and council meeting will be on Monday, June 16th. And we'll talk about your event next week, your Sassy's Cafe. Okay. So that's it.
Good. Okay. It is now time to move to an executive session. Do we have a motion? We have a motion by Councilmember Luna, second by Councilmember Kavanaugh. We'll be moving into executive session. Thank you very much.